And now, right across Australia, it's time for the House of Wellness. Sometimes I get a good feeling. The House of Wellness. Thanks to Chemist Warehouse, the home of real brands and real savings.
Good morning and welcome to the House of Wellness, where each week we answer your health questions. I'm your host, Luke Hines, and today I'm joined by nutritionist Zoe Bingley-Pullen, along with our resident pharmacist, as always, master herbalist Gerald Quigley. Welcome, team.
Thank you, Hinesy. Good to see you.
Great.
Zoe, good to be here. 2024, here we come. I love it.
I know. There's a really good energy in the air today.
I agree. It feels fabulous and it feels very positive. And I think everyone's got hopefully some nice, clear directions on their health goals and their personal goals. Fingers crossed.
Yeah, exactly. There's some stats out recently that 1 in 10 give up their New Year's resolution by the first week of Jan, and a quarter of us have thrown the towel in altogether. So if you are still one of those ones living through your resolution, you are one of a very special group of people. It's great to be with you and, of course, our listeners. Now, first up, we're going to look at women's health and the regular and relevant checkups they should be getting throughout their lives. Now, Zoe, I want to throw this one to you. Do you think that the messaging is getting out there about the importance of women's health issues, and is the education around it being provided?
Yeah, look, it's a really interesting story, and I'll use myself as an example because I recently changed GPs, and this GP was a very proactive GP and bothered to ask some of the questions that maybe other GPs weren't asking. She was female, not that that is the bias there or anything, but as a result, we found that I had a 10-centimetre cyst in my abdomen. I got taken to hospital, I got that cyst removed, and it was all fine, but had those questions not been asked and she hadn't been as thorough, then it could have been another story as well. So I really cannot applaud men and female. Please go and have that conversation, even if it's a niggling thing. I just had a full abdomen. I thought that was normal because I'm perimenopausal, and I just thought that was the normal process. So do ask the questions yourself, and no, there's no such thing as a bad question.
I'm so glad you shared that with us. We're going to chat with Louise Brown, who is the head of public health and education at Jean Hales for Women's Health. We touch on some of the more important screenings women need to get, along with some suggestions for achieving a healthy lifestyle. Now, I don't know about you guys, but because COVID isn't in the media as much these days, I've got to be honest, and this is, I don't know if this is the right or wrong thing to say, but when it comes to some of those COVID-safe practices, I feel like I've let slip a little bit. What about you guys?
I think we need to revert back to one of our former prime ministers who at one stage said, be alert but not alarmed, because I really get concerned about the almost implied disaster which is on our doorstep, and we just need to manage that. This is not going to go away, but we can live with it. We've lived with other issues, and you two aren't old enough to remember. One stage we're all going to die of avian flu, we're all going to die of Hong Kong flu, we're all going to die of AIDS, we're all going to die of this and something else. This is just reporting for reporting's sake. We just need to get it in perspective.
Well, COVID numbers are on the rise, so we're going to give you an update on the latest vaccines, who needs to get them, and where we're heading in 2024 with the wonderful Professor Catherine Bennett, Chair in Epidemiology at the Faculty of Health at Deakin University. And you're a mum, Zo.
I am indeed.
School year. I don't know if you're excited to have your free time back. School year is about.
I'm excited.
It's about to start back. So we'll give you some tips on sending your child to primary school for that very first time with Jen Muir, a parent educator and author of Little People, Big Feelings, giving us some info on parenting and that anxiety that can go with this, but takes us through how to prepare our kids for their first day at kinder or school. But don't forget, this show is for you and about you. So take this number down, 131873. We want those calls coming in now. Any health-related topic, a vitamin, a mineral, an injury you might be dealing with, some pain, we want to hear all about it. But next up, a guide to women's health right here on the House of Wellness.
You're listening to the House of Wellness right across Australia, thanks to Chemist Warehouse, the home of real brands and real savings. The House of Wellness, thanks to Chemist Warehouse. Get Ferro Grad C at your local Chemist Warehouse. Great savings every day.
Welcome back to the House of Wellness. Our number, 131873. Please give us a call on any of your health issues. You might be curious about some healthy foods to kickstart your New Year's resolution, what vitamins and minerals take to feel your absolute best, or maybe a question around some medication that you're currently on. But first, women's health issues are something that affect all of us, whether it be with a partner, mother, sister or friend. Joining us on the line is Louise Brown, Head of Public Health and Education at the Jean Hales for Women's Health Organisation. Welcome to the show. Good morning, Louise.
Good morning.
Now, it's a new year and we are wanting to know just how important are regular health checkups for women?
Well, they're important for everybody, but I think they're one of the best ways of finding out if we've got something going on. So we've got a disease, we've got high blood pressure or any other condition, and then getting that looked after early. It's the main reason for having a checkup.
Louise, it's so interesting because I think I was talking to before about how I recently went through something myself and how simple it is about having those questions answered for you. With perimenopause and menopause, obviously with the change of estrogen, there is a higher implication of heart disease. What can someone do? Is it a question, should we almost have a checklist that we should be going in with our GP asking certain questions? Because it can be a little bit overwhelming for most people out there.
Yeah, look, I think we have a fantastic health checks fact sheet at Jean Hales and a poster too, just to try and keep track of all those things that we need to have done. Heart health after menopause, as you mentioned, is one of those things that changes. Once we don't have the protection of estrogen, so the estrogen levels drop around the time of menopause, and then you are at risk of things like your blood pressure increasing, your cholesterol increasing. So a heart check is something that we recommend to women after the age of 45. So something they should do every 2 years. If you're a First Nations woman, then it's 35. But it's things like blood pressure, cholesterol, blood glucose. The doctor might measure your waist, asking whether you're smoking, how much activity you're doing. So it's all about assessing your risk of heart disease because that does increase after menopause, unfortunately.
Louise, the other issue which we often see is that unexpected fall for various reasons. And even walking the dog can be risky, as one of our locals, Philip Brady, found out last week, where you can suddenly find yourself with a fracture. Now, with dropping estrogen levels, we find that many people are told, oh, you have osteopenia. And there's a lot of confusion between osteopenia and osteoporosis. How can we use that word osteopenia as a better way of educating women to look at their bone mineral density and take some sort of control before they need to go on to the heavier drugs?
Yeah, look, I think what does happen, we're sort of stuck in the menopause discussion, but after menopause, so, you know, most women are reaching menopause around the age of 50. The estrogen hormone is a really protective, it's a fabulous hormone, but it does decrease. After menopause, within the first 5 years, 10% of your bone loss bone mass can be lost. So it is good to think about these things before you get to that point, and a bone health check or a fracture risk check is something that the GP can do after 45. Mm-hmm. And it's looking for things like your family history of osteoporosis, whether you're having enough calcium in your diet, whether you're getting enough physical activity, whether you're smoking, alcohol, all these things can increase your risk. Mm-hmm. So I think it's good to think about your bone health before you get to menopause, because you can really start looking after your health before that. And the calcium, getting enough calcium in our diet is really important.
Sure.
So 1,300, you know, milligrams after menopause every day. So you've really got to actually, you know, take action with that and really build calcium into your diet. And the other thing is weight-bearing exercise. Like, we need to be out getting where our body weight is actually going through the ground. So, you know, things like running are obviously really good. We don't want to fall, of course.
Sure.
But Healthy Bones Australia have this fabulous weight-bearing exercise checklist you can do, and lots of exercises, lots of activities that is suggested that you can do. And they're things you can use around the home. You know, they're not, you don't have to go to the gym and pay a gym membership. You can actually do exercises at home that will really help your bone density. So I think we have to kind of be a bit proactive, as you say. And if the GP's checking your risk for osteoporosis, they may recommend that you have a DEXA scan, which can assess your bone density, mm-hmm. If you've got risk factors. And some diseases can give you risk factors. So celiac disease, rheumatoid arthritis. It's good, something to start thinking about.
Louise, such an important conversation. I'm loving the chat we're having. What I want to highlight before we go is that list, that 17 health checks for women. It's a really extensive list, and it's got a really good variety of things that people should be thinking about. But I wanted to touch on that one of those, because I'd love to go through all 17, and we'll give the link to where people can get it. One that I love that you touch on is the mental health check. And I think that has such an impact on so many elements of people's lives, and I love that that's part of, you know, more traditional testings and checks that you can actually have. Where can people get that checklist?
Oh, so at genehales.org.au. Yep. So this is our health checks poster. Mm-hmm. So it's really something you can pin up and refer to. And we also have a fact sheet as well, which goes into a little bit more detail, but it's just good to have those reminders. And the mental health check, I think, is something, you know, something women sometimes put down the list of priorities. You know, they're busy at work, they've got family perhaps, and the mental health stuff just kind of can get brushed aside. So I think it's something to really take stock of. And around the menopause time, a lot of women will start to have anxiety where they've never had it before. So I think it's good not to push those things under the carpet, actually acknowledge them if you're feeling them.
Yep.
And the first place to go is your GP firstly and check in. And there's tests they can do just to see how you're going mentally. But I think physical activity can be really good for you, both in your physical health and your mental health. So I think that's something that women can do pretty easily themselves.
Yeah.
And that can have a really good impact on your well-being.
You're amazing, Louise. Thank you so much for joining us on the show today. And for anyone who wants some more information, exactly, head to genehales.org.au. We hope you have an incredible Sunday. Let's jump into a call. Let's go to Bruce in Moi. Good morning.
Hello, Bruce.
Good morning. Last week I rang up and said I had a problem with
polymyalgia. You're a rheumatic arrow member, yep. Bruce. How are you getting on?
Good, thanks. I went to my doctor during the week and I was on 3 5-milligram tablets, mm-hmm. and he said he didn't want me to keep me on that too long, so he's reduced that to 2.5 for the next 4 weeks, mm-hmm. and then it's going to go to 2 after that. When I first got diagnosed, I had a blood test reading of 110, and it should be about 5.
That's right.
But when I went this time, my blood test reading was 28.
So it's on the way down, Bruce, which is terrific. And that decreasing dose of steroid is standard. And the idea of that is that it will gently continue to reduce those levels of inflammation. And it gives you a chance just to really make sure that you focus on doing everything you can to continue that pathway to get your inflammation back to where it should be.
Thank you so much for that call, Bruce. After the break, we're going to take your calls right here on the House of Wellness.
You're listening to the House of Wellness right across Australia. Thanks to Chemist Warehouse, the home of real brands and real savings.
Are you using a medicated nasal spray? Help improve its effectiveness with Fess Nasal and Sinus Wash Gentle Strength. It's a natural way to help relieve a stuffy nose due to cold, hay fever or sinusitis, and to help wash away allergens, dust and pollen. Clean and clear your nose before you use a medicated spray with Fess Nasal and Sinus Wash Gentle Strength Wash Kit, available at Chemist Warehouse. Always read the label and follow the directions for use. Chemist Warehouse, great savings every day.
The House of Wellness thanks to Chemist Warehouse. Get life space at your local Chemist Warehouse. Great savings every day.
Welcome back to the House of Wellness. And please phone us, our number 131873, for any health concern, or it may even be a vitamin that you're curious, whether you're eating the right type of food for your diet, maybe it's an injury you're dealing with. We are here. We've got GQ. We've got Zoe. We're ready to take your call. So call in 131873. Now, GQ and Zoe,
mm-hmm.
I want you to name one thing that just kind of brings you joy in your day, that really lifts your spirit and kind of distracts you from any of your stresses. Gerald?
I was going to facetiously say looking at your face on a Sunday, but I don't think that's quite fair. It's funny, isn't it, how laughter now is a recognised way of relieving stress, tension, helping you relax.
So you're going to lock in laughter?
Absolutely.
Is that what does it
for
you?
The ability to laugh at yourself.
Yeah.
and be prepared to just relax. Many years ago, some banter was considered just good fun. Now, there are so many people who get slightly offended by any sort of banter, which is a very sad reflection
cancel
on society.
Cancel culture, GQ. Cancel culture.
Sad big reflection time on society, in my view. I'll go from here and play golf. I have something to make you laugh. If I hit it right, it's a slice. If I hit it left, it's a hook. If I hit it straight...
Love you.
If I hit it straight, it's a miracle.
Okay, I'm going to turn your mic off. Zoe, what's something that brings you joy in your day?
Look, I mean, I know it sounds corny, but for me, eating and food really does it for me. Yeah. I love the creativity. I love the kind of, I mean, for me, I did terribly at school and food was this thing that I could just do really well.
That's great.
So it's always been this kind of go-to big cuddle, but also it makes me feel fantastic.
I love that.
And nice and full.
I love that, Zoe. Now, the reason I'm asking you guys something that brings you joy in your day is that on January 24, it's actual Global Belly Laugh Day. And it's all about celebrating the great gift of laughter. Now, we all know how good it feels to have a big, deep belly laugh. And I think in this day and age, with financial pressures, life pressures, and the stresses of just everyday life in 2024, it is so important that we try to detach and distract ourselves at times to just completely let it go. Mm. And this day is all, it's on January 24, collectively at 1:24 p.m. local time. You smile, you throw your arms in the air and you laugh out loud. So in 3 seconds, guys, I want you to give me your best deep belly laugh in three. I'm already laughing in two.
You worry me sometimes.
Okay. Anyway, that hasn't made you laugh wherever you are.
I don't need any encouragement.
Whether you're in the car or I can't even stop now. Okay. All right, we're gonna jump to calls. We have a show. So don't forget it, guys. It reduces stress. Awesome. It is so inspiring. It makes you feel so much happier. Let's jump in here to Mary. Good morning, Mary. How are you?
Good morning.
How can we
thank
help,
you?
Mary?
My question is, what causes a metallic taste in your mouth? I haven't had any different medications.
No change.
I'm going for a walk.
Yes. No that's okay. No, look, enjoy your walk, Mary. That's the important thing. Look, there are dozens of reasons why you might be getting a metallic taste, and you've eradicated some of them, which is a change of medication or a change of dose in the medication. Look, it could be some oral issues you've got. It could be just dry mouth, which is another thing that can happen. So, look, there's some simple remedies. You can rinse with a mouthwash or quite simply bicarb soda in some water if you want. You can use some sugar-free chewing gum to keep your mouth nice and moist, because we have to keep our mouth moist all the time. If it continues, though, it could be a digestive issue. It could be just an issue with your ability to digest food. If it continues, having looked at those very simple options, then it's something that's probably worth pursuing with your doctor. It also has been around for a fair bit, because the metallic taste is associated with that magic five-letter word, COVID, and because it puts drainage on our zinc levels, and if we've got low levels of zinc, our taste changes completely. So some simple options, Mary. Finding the underlying issue is the challenge.
Mary, that's true. When a client comes to see me with this particular issue, we do very much straight away look at zinc, B12 or iron deficiencies, or we look at some what's called dysbiosis happening within the gut. So that's an overproliferation of the wrong bacteria. So there's some, like Joel did, it is a bit of a, you know, trying to kind of just be that detective and work out. So keeping a food diary is a really good way just to see what is actually you're eating. See if you've maybe dropped some nutrients. They feed into each other quite well. If you've got a bit of a inflammation or dysbiosis through the gut, you're not going to be absorbing your nutrients as well. So a really good quality fermented foods or good probiotic just to kind of start in that area. But just increasing foods rich in zinc, oysters, beef, pork, you know, pumpkin seeds are fantastic, cashews, chickpeas, making sure you've got those B12 foods in your diet. If you're vegetarian or vegan, it's a little bit harder, but, you know, eggs, good quality dairy product, they're fortified in a lot of different foods, and your obvious meat and shellfish and seafood, and again, iron, again, these all sort of are similar type foods. So just be a little conscious and make sure you've got these foods in your diet. And again, see if that gut issue, the inflammation is actually maybe maybe the starting point of all of this as well.
Amazing. Thank you so much for the call, Mary. We are going to get into more calls in just a moment. The number is 131873. But if you, like us in the studio here, felt like that laughter was contagious and you're a little bit curious about the January 24 Global Belly Laugh Day, head to houseofwellness.com.au. We have a story that's just gone live all about the health benefits of belly laugh. So head there right now and we'll be right back with the latest on COVID right here on the House of Wellness.
You're listening to the House of Wellness right across Australia. Thanks to Chemist Warehouse, the home of real brands and real savings.
Are you tired of feeling tired? Is iron deficiency holding you back? Let Ferrograd C help. With just one tablet a day, you'll get the iron your body needs, along with added vitamin C to help iron absorption. Fight the fatigue of iron deficiency with Ferrograd C, available at Chemist Warehouse. For the treatment of medically diagnosed iron deficiency when your doctor has recommended therapeutic oral iron, always read the label and follow the directions for use. Chemist Warehouse, great savings every day.
The House of Wellness thanks to Chemist Warehouse. Get Cetaphil at your local Chemist Warehouse. Great savings every day.
Welcome back. You are listening to The House of Wellness and be sure to phone us in 131873. We would love to hear from you. We've all heard it reported in the media recently that COVID is back, with infection rates rising in both New South Wales and Victoria. Joining us on the line is Professor Catherine Bennett, Chair in Epidemiology at the Faculty of Health at Deakin University. Welcome to the show, Catherine. Can you please explain this recent COVID wave?
Good morning to you. Yeah, look, we knew we had another wave coming. Unfortunately, when we had our winter wave, it was quite an early wave. You just know something's, you know, going to build after you've had a bit of a quiet time after that wave. And we saw it happening overseas as they were going into their autumn. And so it was only a matter of time before it came here. And we saw that first peak in November. But earlier, around August, September, we'd already heard about the new variants they were reporting in the Northern Hemisphere. So one of those was Eris, you might recall. That was the EG5.1. That one was particularly infectious, so many of us predicted that would be the one responsible for our late spring wave, which is what we did see. And the other was one called Parola, which was a different variant. The EG5.1 was related to the XBB strains that have caused our winter wave. But this other one was related to the old BA2.86, which we'd seen earlier on the BA2 variants. But this one had a lot of mutations and it popped up in a few countries around the world at the same time. So I'm a bit worried about that one. That didn't take off. That particular one wasn't as efficient in spreading person to person. But what happened over the next few months was another variant of that, so with an additional mutation or two that actually helped that variant spread, cause this new variant that we're hearing about now, this JN1. And so what we've seen in Australia is that first wave that we predicted at the end of spring, and that started to turn around, but this other variant landed here. Usually they take a month or two to take off, but then that started to push our infection rates up. So in effect, we've had a double wave, and that's the concern that, you know, this has pushed further into our summer, and we still have quite high rates of infection in the community, and that's why we're hearing more from our chief health officers as they try and, you know, let people know our risk of exposure's still high. Might be levelling out now, particularly in places like Victoria, which saw this a bit ahead of, a week or so ahead of the other states.
Catherine, I spent my New Year's Eve in bed with, I wasn't COVID, but it was something very, I was very, very sick. Just explain to me, is, you know, when it comes to vaccines or antivirals, what do we do here? Because I just stayed in bed and stayed away from people.
Well, that's what we recommend for everybody. You know, if you've got the chance, if someone comes home with symptoms, if they can be as isolated as much as they can from the rest of the household, all of that can help. The other thing I should just mention is some recent studies on this new variants, the Omicron variants, is that what they're seeing is a later viral load peak. And that's the time when you're probably most infectious. It's also the time where your RAT tests are most likely going to work. And for the earlier variants, the early Omicron and all the ones before that, Delta and Alpha and so on, they would see the viral load peak just before or around the time that symptoms developed. So it's worth knowing that, because sometimes people have symptoms and they wait a day and they test and it comes back negative and they think it's not COVID, but it might be. And another test a few days down the track might prove that. But the point is, you may not know, and you might be infectious with symptoms and only a few days into that infection really show it up on a RAT test. So a negative RAT test doesn't always guarantee it's not COVID. So if people are unwell, and particularly people who are at risk of severe disease, they should be talking to their doctors about this to sort of know what their plan of action is. And if they have symptoms, even with a negative RAT test, it's probably still worth talking to a doctor, because they might suggest they get a PCR test or to test again on the RAT. And getting antivirals early is the thing that really helps, you know, the medication reduce the risk, not just in the acute infection, but also potentially might lower the risk of long COVID as well for those people particularly vulnerable.
Catherine, you are such a wealth of knowledge, and there's so much new information out there around vaccinations, the booster doses, who might be more vulnerable to things like long COVID. So I just want to give a link here, which is health.gov.au, and there's a whole bunch of information there that gives people an updated look at all of this, which is incredibly helpful. We can't thank you enough. You're such a welcome guest on our show. We hope you have an amazing weekend, and we can't wait to chat to you very soon for another update. Thank you so much, Catherine.
Thank you.
Let's go to Mary in Greensboro. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning, Mary.
How are you?
Really well. How can we help?
I have tinnitus, and I was wondering if there's anything that would help.
There is a herb, Mary, a particular extract of ginkgo biloba, and if you could write these letters and numbers down, E for egg, EGB761. There are a couple of brands of that out there. It is a specific clinically proven extract of ginkgo biloba that will help in many cases settle the noise, and the dose is one twice a day. And clinicians suggest, Mary, a 3-month treatment time to give it a chance to work. And if there's no change in 3 months, then don't persist, because it's not going to make a difference. EGB761 from your local pharmacy.
And Mary, we often look at just quick things like an anti-inflammatory rich diet, but there was a new study that looked at melatonin. Often as we get older, our sleep declines, our estrogen levels decline as well, particularly as females and males. And it's worthwhile looking into and having a chat about melatonin or some support to help you sleep as well, because there are some links with tinnitus.
Thank you for that call, Mary. Let's go to Jeff in Wheelers Hill. Good morning.
Hello, Jeff.
Good morning.
Good morning, Jeff.
Yeah, look, I've got sciatic nerve pain in my right shin. Is there any medication that will relieve it?
This nerve pain, Jeff, is coming from your lower spine. So there are some nutrients that are quite specific here. The first is turmeric, which you can get some advice from your local pharmacy about, high potency. And the second is lipoic acid, L-I-P-O-I-C, comes as a 400 milligram or a 600 milligram capsule, and you take that twice a day after food, and that reduces the sensitivity of that nerve pain. And it might be worth getting your spine checked, because something's not quite right.
Thank you for the call, Jeff. Wonderful to have all of these calls coming in. We're going to get to more of those shortly, but after the break, starting school for the very first time, right here on The House of Wellness.
You're listening to The House of Wellness right across Australia, thanks to Chemist Warehouse, the home of real brands and real savings.
When you face the world with dermatologist-recommended Cetaphil, they do the skincare and you do you. Like Australian Olympic swimmer Emma McKeon. Emma loves how her new Cetaphil Bright Healthy Radiance Perfecting Serum hydrates her skin. She's got a power-packed schedule, so she needs a serum with the power of 7 benefits in one. It reduces dark spots and fine lines, tones and boosts radiance. Emma gets dermatologist-tested Cetaphil for a great price every day at Chemist Warehouse.
The House of Wellness thanks to Chemist Warehouse. Get life space at your local Chemist Warehouse. Great savings every day.
Welcome back to the House of Wellness. We are still taking your calls, 131873. We're going to jump into those in just a moment. But first, school starts back very soon, so we've enlisted an expert to give us some suggestions for a smooth transition for the thousands of children who will go through those gates for their very first time. Joining us On the line is Jen Muir, author of Little People, Big Feelings, a parent educator, and most importantly, a mum to four boys. Welcome to the show, Jen. School starts at the end of the month. What are your tips for this?
I'd love to focus on two key things, and thank you so much for having me. The first thing is really practical. Sort the shoes, get the stationery organised. There's nothing worse than starting school and already being behind the eight ball or kids getting a blister. So I think that's really important. But I guess there's lots of kids who are going back to school who maybe had a tough year last year socially, or they're just saying, I don't want to go to school, it's really hard. And our instinct as parents can be to say, you love it at school, it's going to be great, you know, to make it better for them. And actually one of the best things we can do is just stop and say, yeah, that makes sense. I find it hard to go back to work as well. You know, I get it.
Jen, I remember I read something that you said, which I thought was perfect. And you said mimic. So basically do a role play, pretend like, you know, take photos of what the school might look like, yeah. Let them see where they're going. So it's not this huge shock when they first walk in because they're only so little. It's a bit overwhelming. But what are some other really cool, just very functional tips that we can actually give to our little people out there?
Yeah, look, particularly for those kids starting kindy, you can't overdo that preparation that's visual. We forget that 90% of communication is nonverbal. And for little kids, showing them those pictures, what it means is the brain gets to actually rehearse kind of what it's like to be there before they get there. And so when they get there, it's one thing that's less foreign because even though they haven't actually done it before, the brain sort of feels like it has. So that's a little bit of a trick. The other thing is, I think the biggest mistake we make with our kindergarteners, we promise or prep, you know, we promise it'll be amazing. You're going to love it. Yep. It's going to be so good. You're going to make all these friends. And, you know, they might make friends and they may love school, but let's be honest with them. There will be some moments that are boring or maybe less fun or the moments that are hard. So I think if we're kind of a bit more real with them, I always say talk less and listen more. If they say they're excited, go with that. If they say they're worried, go with that. It's okay to listen to where they're at.
Jen, there'll be a number of people listening to us this morning thinking, how did our parents cope when the world wasn't full of expert advice on what to do and how to do it?
Yeah.
How did they cope?
Oh, look, they did it differently. And to be honest, it was a little bit more simple. We have a whole lot of new information these days. And look, that's a really good thing. It means that we're parenting with a whole lot of neuroscience and new information. But what it means for modern parents is that we know what we need to do for our kids. We know we need to sit with their feelings and, you know, in big meltdowns, and we know we want to support them and be there with them. And yet we're trying to do this when it wasn't really modelled for us. So that can be a really challenging thing to do for parents, and it means that sometimes our heads are just spinning with all of that information. And I love parents to know that you actually don't need to get it right all the time, and you are probably doing a lot better than you imagine. And I think one of the best things that I would love all parents to know is that what the evidence shows is that when we can get it right with our kids and be that parent we want to be on paper, around 30% of the time, that is actually enough to meet the needs of our kids and to turn out
for that.
Really great people.
That is,
right?
Yeah.
And we're kind of expecting 100%, aren't we? We're thinking, oh no, I yelled, or I didn't listen, I stuffed it up. The truth is 30% is more than enough, and it's important for kids to have a turn at being with their emotions without us intervening sometimes as well. So I think when we find that balance, things got a lot better for everybody.
Yeah, absolutely, Jen. And I think a really important conversation to have is that there's a number of children with disabilities who also may be going to school for the very first time. Is there a simple preparation or an idea that you can give us that parents can do for this?
Completely. So if kids have a disability, or if they're neurodivergent, or even if you just have a child that does struggle with socialising or, you know, big emotions, the biggest thing you can do is form a relationship with the school. Don't be afraid to be that squeaky wheel. Get in there and plan some extra supports. Make the school adapt to the needs of your child rather than forcing our child to be exhausted adapting to the system. We can be really nervous to do that, but it makes such a difference. And the more you can communicate about what works at home or how you support your child at home, and then the school has that to work with, the better it goes.
Jen, you are an absolute wealth of knowledge. Thank you for coming on the show. And you can actually buy your newly released book, Little People, Big Feelings, at all good bookstores. And you can reach you online at connectedparenting.com.au. We hope you have the most incredible Sunday. Thank you for joining us. We'll be right back right here after the break on the House of Wellness.
You're listening to the House of Wellness right across Australia. Thanks to Chemist Warehouse, the home of real brands and real savings.
Are you choosing the right probiotics? Try LifeSpace, Australia's number one probiotics brand with a wide range to match your needs. Broad spectrum probiotic to support everyday gut health, double strength probiotic to support nutrient absorption, and triple strength probiotic with the highest CFUs in the range to support healthy bowel and immune function. LifeSpace probiotic capsules, available at Chemist Warehouse. Always read the label and follow the directions for use. Chemist Warehouse, great savings every day.
The House of Wellness, thanks to Chemist Warehouse. Get Fess at your local Chemist Warehouse. Great savings every day.
Welcome back to the House of Wellness. If we didn't get to your call today, we'd love you to head to houseofwellness.com.au where we've got an Ask tab. Now, Gerald is so diligent, he answers each and every question that comes through, don't you, mate?
Everyone, Hinesy, and I enjoyed very much indeed. Just keep laughing too, by the way.
You got to keep laughing. Have an amazing day. Thank you so much, Zoe Bingley-Pullen. Gerald
Thank
Quigley,
you.
For recipes, ideas and articles, houseofwellness.com.au, and we look forward to joining you this time next week on Sunday.